thinks that the brothers were dragging the bottom of the barrel to have me here. But it's a joy. So I was thinking about what I would say today. I thought, well, maybe I would give a little bit of my testimony. Many, many here have never heard. But you know, I thought about, before I do that, I thought about the word grace. The song we love, Amazing Grace. And so many songs, if you just start looking in your songbook, they're about grace. And it's just it's a beautiful five-letter word, isn't it? Songwriters have written it about it for decades. It has been preached from pulpits, from the streets, in crusades, in foreign fields for hundreds of years. It is truly amazing.
Amen.
It is. And you know, as a 9-year-old little girl, way back, I'll tell you when, 1940, in a church in Fort Worth, Texas. I had been raised in a Christian home, but a pastor came to our little department, and he started talking about this amazing grace. And he read Romans 3:23, which says, all have sinned, for all have sinned. And I heard that all, and I realized that I was one of those all, that I had sinned and had come short of the glory of God. And he also read Ephesians 2:8-9, for by grace are you saved through faith. And I realized that I did not have that. I did not have the grace of God in my life. I didn't have. I didn't know Him. I knew I was a sinner, and I knew I needed a Savior. So I trusted the Lord Jesus. Amen. And I continued to be faithful in the church. I did all kinds of stuff. And as much as a little teenager can do, I taught Sunday school. I sang in the choir. Loved to sing from the time I was tiny. I can remember sitting at my mom's elbow, singing, you know, harmonizing when I was just 10 years old. You know, loved to sing, I always did. And but the most important thing, and even next to that of my salvation, was one day when I was 15 years old, I heard a message about going and preaching the gospel somewhere else.
Amen.
And I felt God touching my heart, and I said, Lord, I'm going to be one of those people that goes as a missionary to tell others about you.
Amen.
And, of course, my desire was that one day I would meet a young man that wanted to do the same thing. And so I was in high school, my last year of high school. I was in church singing in the choir one Sunday, and I saw this little bitty guy singing to his heart's content, coming down the aisle, off tune, of course. But he sang with all his heart.
Amen.
And we got to talking afterwards, and he told me that when he saw me, he said, that's the girl I'm going to marry. And we got to talking, and we started making some plans. And so we decided that we would go. And you know, at that time, China was still open. China's doors were open in 1948. Yeah. But after, right about the time we got married, just shortly after they closed, and we thought, oh, what are we going to do? You know, what are we going to do? What? China, that's the place you're supposed to go as a missionary. And that time, that's about all you heard about. And so I thought, well, so we married, and he continued his studies. And Baylor, of course, at that time, Baylor was the school. All the good Baptist young men and women went to, you know. So he went there, and he continued his studies, and I continued my degree, a PhD degree, which was pushing hubby through. So that's what. Then his last year at Baylor, he was pastoring a church, and like I said, China's doors were closed, so he felt like, well, we'll just pastor a while and just pray and wait for the Lord to lead. So we continued pastoring in Texas and New Mexico. By the way, the first little church, a little country church near Waco, before Dale got out of Baylor, Milton Martin followed us as a pastor there.
Amen.
He was just a student then at Baylor, and didn't, I don't think he was even married then. And so that was a special, special little place. Anyway, after that, Dale came home one day and he said, you know, China's doors are closed, but there's lots of other doors that are open. Mexico's, we can drive there. So he said, let's go. So I said, okay. We had four children by then. It was 8 years later. We had four children, and I was carrying the number five right here. And we packed up our little old station wagon and a little trailer, everything that we could thought we could maybe take in, and we headed out for Mexico. We knew no Spanish. We had met one couple that had been preaching in a little church that they all pastored, that were living in Guadalajara. So we headed for Guadalajara. And, oh, it was some trip. I don't have time to tell you all the things, but everything in the world happened, of course. And one of the worst things was when we crossed the border, it was at night, and we decided to travel mostly at night, because as you well know, those of you who have small children, it's easier to travel when they're asleep than when they're awake. So we crossed the border, and Dale went in to get gas, and I looked around, and I said, well, the stories that I've always heard are coming true. There were these men with bandanas across their faces. There's a bandit behind every tree, I was told. So here they are. I started locking the door, scared to death. But, of course, you and us just keep out the cold. They are big on that. Anyway, so we went on down to Guadalajara, got there, and stayed with these friends of ours for a couple of weeks so we could find a place to live. And we started struggling and trying to learn some Spanish. Well, it was tough. It really was. We'd been there about 3 months, and Dale came, and he said, you know what, honey, I think we might as well go home. Mm-hmm. I'm never going to learn it. I am never going to learn Spanish. We might as well go. And I have to add here, I was no great saint, I want you to know. But I said, you know what, we do have 3 months left on our papers. We've got a 6 month visa. I said, you know, let's wait 3 more months. And if nothing, you know, if it doesn't dawn that we can speak this language, I'll go with you. But we ought to wait 3 more months anyway. He said, okay, we'll do it. And sure enough, a little bit more light had dawned, and Amen. We were able to speak some Spanish. And the way he learned, after he learned the pronounced salvation in Spanish, he would go to a park and would sit down by someone on a bench, and he'd tell him the pronounced salvation. Sometimes it wasn't 5 or 10 minutes. And then when he finished, he'd get up and go to the next bench. And he did that faithfully every day until he had the pronounced salvation down very, very well. And then little by little, we saw that we were going to be able to speak some Spanish. Dale felt like, well, I can't preach yet. So he was just so anxious to do something. So we started taking in children. We had several contacts there that were begging us to take in some children that didn't have a home. So we began to do that. And that ended up being, of course, we had more and more children. And we finally left there and began to look for a piece of land because we had to do something. We couldn't, nobody rent a house to people that had 15, 20 kids. So we finally found a piece of land. We bought it, 6 acres, and began to make our own adobe for our houses. We built our own buildings. And all the time, you know, a lot of work and no electricity. I'm not going to bore you with all the hard times we had. It was tough, but there was a lot of joy. Amen. There was a lot of satisfaction. All the children that we took in and made professions of faith. We had meetings there. We ran to get a place in town and to preach and to witness there. And little by little, we settled in and felt like we had given many of these children a home that they didn't have, that would never have. And that was a blessing to us. Let's see, where am I in my story? So we had a name. We had a name for our place called Ranchito del Rey, Little Ranch of the King. And it was a real pretty place. We painted our, whitewashed our buildings and had beautiful tile roof on our roofs. It was very, very nice, but it was still kind of in the boonies. People had a hard time finding us. But God was good to us, and all the time that we were doing this, we had our ups and downs. I mean, I lost our little boy. I only lived a week. That was very hard for me. And we had some close calls. This young man sitting here, we almost lost him, I don't know how many times, with seizures and... God was good, though, and we had so many blessings, so many blessings, so many blessings. I've never regretted a day that I was scrubbing clothes on a rug board for all those kids, you know, and it never dawned on me that I was not where God wanted me to be. That was where I was supposed to be, and that's where I want to be. And we cooked lot for, you know, that many cats. Now you know why I couldn't pick them out. I can't cook in small mounds. Anyway, you know, a big cooker pot of beans every day is a lot of beans, but every day we had that much. Anyway, they were good times. We had many happy times, joyful times, sad times, but no regrets at all. Amen. No regrets.
Amen.
He taught me many, many things, and one was to stand by my man.
Amen.
Always be there.
Amen.
Always be there.
Amen.
But you know, this time Dale had begun to pray. He felt, even though he did preach a lot, he just didn't feel like he was completely satisfied. So for 3 years we prayed about our future. By then, many children had left. Some of our own children had grown up and had moved away in the States. And so we only had 4 children, but we decided that the Lord wants us to close the orphanage, that we could feed their tummies and give them gospel. As far as, I think we probably thought that maybe in our back of our minds that maybe we could grow up our own preachers and missionaries, you know, right there in our place.
Yeah.
What a wonderful thing that would be. But you know, God has to do the calling.
Amen.
And we saw that we couldn't do it. So we closed the orphanage, had only 4 children to place other places. And that was not difficult. And we came back to the States and just prayed that God would lead us to a partner and to lead us where he wanted us to go from there. And after about 8 years, lo and behold, we went back to San Luis, both to see, and there we found Billy and Cindy.
Yeah.
And they had come up from Guatemala and said that he felt like that he wanted to work with Dale too. So they started working together right there, and we started working. We worked in villages, we worked in areas in the streets, showed films, preached. He went down to Indian country and encouraged the young Indian preachers and pastors there. But we felt like we really wanted to start a work right there. And so in our house, we opened our doors and we began inviting people to come. And they began to come, little by little, Lord blessed. And by then, several of the missionaries, young missionary couples, were sent down. And Brother Kincaid said, you're to be under Dale and Bill's authority. If they tell you to clean potties, you clean potties. And they were very sweet. They were very submissive. I'm sure they learned a lot. I was able to help encourage those young ladies as well that went, the wives. Anyway, after a couple of years, they felt like to go to Leon. This is what God was leading them to do, so they left. Dale and I stayed there at Saleni, and the church we began to further strengthen the brothers and sisters there. And that's when our youth group, work started. We had been in some contact with some preachers who wanted to send their youth down for a work time. So we started that work, and they would come anywhere from 10 to 14 days, and they would find work for them, physical labor in different churches that needed painting or building or whatever. And then in the evening, they would take them to the market, and they would go sing and witness, pass out tracts. Even many of the young men began to preach.
Amen.
In Spanish, you know, through an interpreter, and that really got them with their feet on the ground about you know, really working for the Lord. And and I tell you, that's been a blessing. We started that work in the church there at Saleni, loaned us their facilities to use. I was the cook, except breakfast. They'll always do breakfast. And I learned a lot of things. I was able to share and to strengthen and help the young girls.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's such a blessing, because today they've counted up somewhere around 150 of those young people. We did this for 22 years. Okay. Our summers were always there. No matter whether when we moved up here, even, we went back to the summer and did this. And we had about 150 young people who, some of them, I still pray for about 9 of them every morning that are missionaries.
Amen.
Afghanistan, China,
amen.
All over.
Amen.
That made their decision on that Mexico trip.
Amen.
And many are youth directors, their wives of pastors. Anyway, it's just, you know, to know that we had just a small part in their lives has been a blessing to me. I still get letters from them thanking us for what we did. And I still, not long ago, I got a call from one of the Mexican children that I hadn't heard from in 20 years, telling me that he was now, he was interpreting, what do you call it, translating in a Hispanic American church in Phoenix. And I know what God done his life, because he was not that turned that way before. And so, you know, it's just a blessing to know. And little by little, we've heard of even the children that we raised. Many of them now are realizing they're saved. Some were really trying to work to live for the Lord and serve Him. And that's so it's been worth it. That's the song we sang. It will be worth it all. And that's such a blessing to me, because I feel very, very blessed. I looked at my notes on what they're supposed to say. I guess you can see that all this is all a part of me, so it's easy for me to share. Right now, my life is going right along. Okay, I love the meetings. I love to be here to encourage. I'd like to read. There's two verses that I just kind of explain my joy. Colossians 3:16-17. Colossians 3:16-17. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him.
Amen.
Precious verses of that. That's kind of my, those are the kind of verses I live by. And you know, I still enjoy my memories of a wonderful life. Sorry that Dale got cancer in 88, bladder cancer, then in 93 he had prostate cancer. He survived both of those, but 7 years later he had the one that took his life, and that was the brain tumor. And you know, God was so good to us in those days. He never had a pain.
Amen.
He never had a seizure. He never vomited. He just enjoyed the Lord. And every day, out at Lakey, several of Susan and Kelly, several of them had come to stay until he passed away. And he said, okay, it's time for devotions.
That's right.
This is three times a day. and we gathered. We all did it. We gathered. They all got, and Joey got his guitar, you know. We got our books out, we sang, and it was always what he wanted to sing. But he knew his time was short. He was going to enjoy it to the last.
Aww.
And it was so sweet. And Norm came from Turkey to be with him, and it was really funny. One day, Norm said, okay, kiddos, there's a lot of children around. Of course, my great-grandchildren are everywhere. And he said, we're going to sing a song now. And they told him, he said, what song? And he said, it's a song that's to the tune of I've Been Working on the Railroad. They'll say, we're not going to sing that. We're singing what I want to sing. And we did. And we just indulged. We did. We just enjoyed it. And, you know, he enjoyed that. He enjoyed it. He would raise his hands in praise. And
amen.
It was just such a blessing. It was such a blessed time for all of us. And I can just tell you, he's a wonderful, wonderful mate. I wouldn't change anything. I wouldn't change the difficulties I've gone through.
That's right.
The joys have been numerous. But now, you know, as the song does, the Amazing Grace does say, through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already
come. Amen.
His grace has brought me safe thus far, and grace will take me home.
Amen. Amen. Amen.